Welcome to Tall Talk Times, the podcast made by beautifully tall people.
For beautifully tall people.
I'm Letty Saunders.
And I'm Tom Garner.
Hi.
Hi. Long time no see. how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Nice to have spring, isn't it?
Oh, it's so lovely. I mean, there's been so much cloud and wet, and it's just been dank and miserable. And eventually it seeps into your soul. So when I get a bit of vitamin D poking through the clouds, I'm like, yes, give me more of that.
There you are, stripping off leg in the garden.
Well, I haven't got a garden, but in my mind. So Letty, I believe you've been looking into the location of listeners for Tall Tall Time. Apparently we're very global.
Yeah, we're very global.
Yay!
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you put up a podcast digital file.
Yes.
It could be shared all around the world, Tom.
Yeah.
So we have a good few countries, obviously. The UK.
Where's that?
The United Kingdom having the 73% at the moment,
but
winning.
But that's more than that means more than 25% is not the UK.
That's right.
Fantastic. So where are we going on our travels?
Okay. So one of the most obscure ones will be the Cambodia and Chechnya.
Chechnya?
Yeah.
Well, big shout out to Cambodia and Chechnya. We did not know we were so popular.
And we're also popular in the United Arab Emirates.
The UAE.
Yeah, hello to the United Arab Emirates.
Yes, hello there. Hello.
Spain.
Sí.
Yeah.
Hola.
Sí. Buenos dias. And Australia.
Australia. Well, that is the other side of the world. Wow.
But then we do have a huge following in the good old United States of America.
Across the pond?
Across a very large
pond. A very large pond, yes.
Yeah. And Germany.
America and Germany. Wow. Well, thank you very much, and danke schön for listening. That's fantastic.
I wonder how many other countries we're going to have. This is really quite interesting. I'm going to have to come back to you in, a month's time, Tom, and see how this has changed, see if the percentages have altered at all.
No, that'd be fantastic. I mean, in a nice way, but it's quite weird to hear that we're listening to in other countries, because we're both from England specifically, we're not even from different parts of the UK.
Oh, where we are, you're in Midlands.
I know, but it's England. It's not like Wales, Scotland, or Northern Ireland, or anything like that. And so there's part of me that thinks, oh, we're quite stereotypically, quite a very UK-centric podcast. And clearly by our listenerships, we are getting the most listeners from a domestic audience. But it is really, really lovely to hear that we're having an impact abroad as well. That makes me smile.
Yeah, well, we've got members on the Facebook page from all over the world.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, we've got some very tall gentlemen from Pakistan.
Pakistan?
Yeah, 8'2".
8'2", wow.
I know.
Fantastic.
It's brilliant. And hopefully...
Well, that is beautifully tall in Pakistan, isn't it?
There is a beautifully tall world out there, Tom.
There is indeed.
So, Tom, let's move on to your wonderful Giants of History.
This week, we're going away from the shores of the UK and we're going to medieval Spain. Medieval Spain, no less. And so our giant of history this week, most listeners will probably not have heard of this guy. His name was King Sancho the VII of Navarre.
No, never heard of him.
Well, you have now. So I better give you some context around King Sancho. So, born around 1157, Sancho ruled as King of Navarre from 1194 until his death in 1234. Now, Navarre is located in northern Spain, and it was originally known as the Kingdom of Pamplona, which is a city in Spain today, and the territory occupied lands on both sides of the Pyrenees, with its northernmost areas reaching the Bay of Biscay in the Atlantic Ocean, with some of its territory being in what is now the Basque country. So I should point out, in this period of history, Spain is not a unified country. In fact, the whole of Iberia is not split between Spain and Portugal. It's a mixture. It's pretty much a north-south divide between Christian kingdoms in the north,
okay,
and Muslim emirates or kingdoms in the south.
Okay.
So what happened in what we call the Dark Ages, the Muslim forces from North Africa invaded Iberia and pushed the already settled Christian populations back.
Would that be the Moors?
Yes. So they're known to history as the Moors, but these are Muslims from North Africa. And they so for example, there's an emirate in Granada, for instance, and if you go to the is it the Alhambra in Cordoba, there's an emirate there, and there's also caliphates. So you hear about the Caliph of Baghdad in Mesopotamia, which is now Iraq, but the caliphs were in Spain as well. And so the Christian kingdoms were very weak when the Moors conquered much of what's now Spain. But the Christian kingdoms eventually rallied and started to push back. And this period is a very long period known as the Reconquista, or the Reconquest, as they would see it, of Spain. And it lasts for 700 years or so. It doesn't end until 1492, the same year that Columbus has his great voyage to what we now know as the Americas.
Okay.
So it's quite complex politics that go on for hundreds of years. So Navarre is one of those small Christian kingdoms. There are more famous ones like Castile and Aragon, for example, but Navarre is there as well. Now, Sancho, you probably haven't heard of him, but you probably have heard of King Richard the Lionheart of England.
Of course.
So Sancho is a contemporary of King Richard the Lionheart, and his sister, Berengaria, was married to Richard in 1191. So they're brother-in-laws.
Yeah.
So they weren't just related by marriage. Sancho was apparently also good friends with Richard, and his own knights from Navarre helped Richard to keep his continental possessions in France. So while Richard was away crusading in the Holy Land, Sancho's knights would be in France making sure that the French king didn't take back Richard's territories. But Sancho also participated in the Reconquista of the Spanish Christian kingdoms against the Muslim emirates. So in 1212, so this is quite a few decades after Richard dies, he joins forces with the kings of Castile and Aragon to defeat the Almohad Caliphate at the Battle of Las Tavas de Tolosa.
Lovely accent.
Oh, thank you very much. Gracias. So this Christian victory was a turning point in the Reconquista and the medieval history of Spain, because it greatly weakened Muslim influence and power in Iberia. So from that point on, the Christians' kingdoms are in the ascendancy. So you're probably thinking, Letty, well, yes, Tom, this is all very interesting about the Reconquista, etc., etc. But what's it got to do with Tool Talk times? Well, we've now got to do a bit of archaeology. At this stage, this is where Sancho's story becomes interesting. So in 1234, Sancho dies, aged about 76 to 77. So that's quite an old age. Good age for that time, yeah. But you'll be even more impressed with his age when you consider how tall he was. So in the 17th century, his remains were exhumed to be moved from to a different grave.
Lovely.
I mean, we're all about gore here. apparently, according to the records, his body was in a bad state when it was dug up, and his total height could not be measured.
I don't even want to ask why.
Well, exactly. He probably wasn't a pretty sight by this point. However, they did record the measurement of his femur, which is his thigh bone, and from thigh bone you can work out the full height of a human being. They did something very similar with William the Conqueror, for example.
No guess though, right? Guesstimate.
It's a guesstimate, but it's a pretty accurate guesstimate, if that makes sense. Of course, you can't get the total height, but you can usually get a pretty accurate recording. So he's reburied in the 17th century, but in the 20th century, Sancho has a biographer called Luis del Campo. Now, del Campo was also a forensic doctor, and he obtained the height of his thigh bone, and from that, he was able to extrapolate Sancho's height. Now, this prepare yourself. Sancho was calculated to be 7'3" tall.
I wasn't expecting that, Tom.
No.
I really wasn't. It's worth waiting for, wasn't it, listeners?
Seven foot three. So in metric, that's 220 centimetres.
7'3".
Yeah. And of course, in the 20th century, forensic science is quite a sophisticated art. So Del Campo was able to extrapolate the information from his thigh bone and get a pretty accurate sense of how tall Sancho was.
Was there nowhere else in no reference of Sancho's height other than...
Well, I'll come to that in a second. So, like we've talked before about accuracy just now, but Del Campo was at least able to determine that Sancho was at least 2 meters tall. So even if 7'3" sounds a bit much, he was at least 6'7", 6'8". which is, for medieval times, that is beyond, it's very, very tall nowadays.
Because he was a royal, he would have had all the finest food and no nutrition problems, wouldn't he?
It's true, but I suspect genetics...
Oh, obviously, yeah.
...forms a big part of that. Yeah, yeah, of course. So clearly, Sancho the Seventh was a very physically imposing monarch and somebody that you wouldn't want to mess with. So, in terms of what contemporaries would have thought, there isn't a huge amount about this, but his contemporary nickname during his lifetime was Sancho the Strong.
Lovely.
Now, I think that suggests his height has something to do with it, because you think if a height like that, he's going to project power and strength, isn't he?
From the royal point of view as well, because he was a man of wealth and he was tall, he would have probably had quite a lot of entitlement and confidence.
Oh, yes. Height, swagger, all sorts. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Love it.
But if you think back to that big battle that he fought in 1212, the Battle of Las Terras de Tolosa, he would have been a central figure on the battlefield. He would have been very vulnerable.
We would have been able to spot him quite easily.
Well, exactly. If you're a Moorish fighter and you see him, you're either going to think, oh, blimey, don't mess with him, or you're going to want to get at him to kill him.
Would he have been at the forefront, though?
Well, Christian kings would have been expected to be at the forefront, in the vanguard of fighting, is what a medieval warrior monarch was expected to do. So, yes, he would have been definitely expected to be in the thick of the fighting, and I suspect he was. But I should say as well, in that particular battle, he was fighting with two other Christian kings as allies. Okay. So there were three Christian kings on the same battlefield.
With all their knights around them, of course.
Yes, but imagine if he's wearing up, that's one big suit of armour, isn't it? If you're 7'3".
Oh, I'd love to see that suit of armour.
Yeah. And I came, and I must be honest, doing my research, I'd never heard of Sancho before. And I didn't even know that he was a brother-in-law of Richard the Lionheart. But to find out his height was something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it sounds like really, really interesting. 7'3", though, Tom.
I think we can safely say in medieval Spain, that would have been an exceptional height. I mean, unparalleled, most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. A bit obscure, but wow. What a guy. Sancho the Seventh of Navarre. We salute you, sir.
Thank you, Sancho. And thank you, Tom. That was a wonderful, very surprising Giants of History. So there have been a few queries on fashion tips for women who are tall.
Sartorial advice. Well, I can't really advise there. But you can, Letty.
Well, yes. I mean, I am 6'3" and recently, having worn heels for the last Friday event, I was very, very nervous about that.
How did that make you feel?
Well, I kind of posted it around Facebook on our Facebook group. It's All Talk Time's Facebook group. So I wouldn't back out at the last minute.
Yeah.
So I took my heels with me and popped them on in the cab from the train station. And I'm pleased that I did, because I had some really lovely feedback from Blanca.
Lovely. Oh, wow. Wow, well done, Blanca. That's always good. Beautifully tall people supporting other beautifully tall people. That's what we're all about.
Yeah. Well, see, a lot of people think, well, you're already tall, so why are you wearing heels?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is it. But she had said, I'm 6 foot, 182 to be exact. Yes, I was wearing 3-inch heels. And she was very empowered to be wearing the heels. And that kind of feedback really helps, because sometimes, you know, we give things a go. And I think maybe next month I'll wear a different pair of heels, Tom.
I think you should. It's interesting what you say about if people suggest that if you're already very tall, why should you wear heels? To which I would say, well, why the heck not?
Yeah.
Why shouldn't you?
Because we already stand out.
Yeah.
And see, that's another thing. We're looking at some fashion tips for tall women for your confidence. Not everyone, wear whatever you wish and make sure that you're comfortable with it. I think that's absolute priority. There's no point wearing an outfit because some stylist has said, oh, this would look good on you. And go, oh, I really hate stripes. Especially vertical stripes that make me look taller.
Or do vertical stripes accentuate height?
Yes. And horizontal would do the opposite.
Would expand widthways.
Yeah, they do. But there are a couple of other suggestions as well. I have a little research on this one. And they said, if you're wearing a very short skirt, don't bend over.
Right.
Or wear some modesty shorts underneath.
I see.
So, but I think people are pretty intelligent and could work that one out for themselves.
I think so. People are bright, yeah.
But no to tiny handbags. Unless it's a clutch bag, if you wear have a ridiculously small handbag at your side, you're going to look out of proportion.
Right.
So it's not just the dress, it's the whole outfit. So some women are taller in their torsos than their legs, but being very tall, we all have wonderful legs. And yeah, by all means, wear a short skirt. But I find that I look like I've outgrown outfits if I have to get the right kind of more fitted for me, I think. Drop waists are handy. My son said to me this morning, "Oh, you're wearing a very lovely dress. That waistline is exactly where it should be."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at the risk of sounding completely daft, what is a drop waist?
So a waist would be further on to the hips.
Right.
So I look for those outfits because then I know that would account for my very long back.
Right, I see.
So that is actually a drop waist dress.
Uh-huh.
That fits me perfectly. So the waist is where a waist would be.
Ah, clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, stand tall, head held high, whatever you wear, not stooping because that looks awful and confidence.
No, don't stoop.
Confidence is sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
But things like making sure that your shorts aren't too short, that they have to cover your bottom. Weird things like this. When I was looking this up, I thought, oh, crikey, people would know this, surely.
I mean, shorts that cover your bottom. I mean, isn't that the idea of shorts, to cover your bottom? Because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. How many people are going to be typing in Daisy Duke shorts at this point, Tom?
Very true. I think, can't take it back.
Okay. So monochrome look, that will actually make you appear taller if you're wearing monochrome.
If you're just wearing black or white?
Or shades of black or white, yes.
Okay.
That actually does make the lines make you look a little bit taller.
Okay.
Whereas two different high contrast colours will make you look shorter. So a brighter colour trouser and a light shirt will actually make you look shorter.
Do you know, there's quite a, I wouldn't say a science to this, but you know what I mean? There's quite a bit of technicality to all of this that one has to think about.
Well, I just think you should wear what you like, but make sure that it fits you well.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure, one of the tips that I have is I can't look at myself in a mirror and make a judgment as well as I can as if I took a photograph and then observed the photograph. Because we've all seen photographs of ourselves and gone, oh my God, what was I wearing?
Yeah, yeah.
What do I look like there? So taking a photograph of yourself or having somebody take that photo and then looking at it before you go out to make sure that you're comfortable. Make sure it fits you and that you're happy with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was amused to hear about the tiny handbag thing because as part of the things, even if you're not very tall, what is the point of a tiny handbag anyway? So what, you can fit a box of matches in there or something? What is the point of that?
I think that's hallowed ground, really, with women and their handbags.
Oh, is this stuff I'm not supposed to know?
Well, you know. it's always, what is in your handbag? Do not look at my handbag.
Turns out the Queen, she had a marmalade sandwich in her handbag.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. According to that Paddington Bear sketch. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, well. I digress.
But there are many brands that carry tall ranges, obviously, in the UK. We have a lot of them online.
Mm.
So we have Next, Banana Republic apparently do. We've got ASOS, Marks and Spencer. So Ralph Lauren do a tall range as well. If you want to look at some designer clothes, Abercrombie and Fitch. Obviously, Long Tall Sally.
Of course. I'm really pleased that that major chains do these tall sections for women. That's really good because there aren't so many for men, by contrast. I can tell you that.
Well, we do have them, but there's been quite a mix-up recently. A lot of it's all online, Tom, which makes life a tad hard.
In what sense?
Well, you can't go out shopping for your outfit because you're tall.
Oh, is that part of the... Sorry, speaking as a very functional shopper, as in I get stuff when I need it, but is it a positive part of the shopping experience to be able just to go out and try things.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? It would be lovely. You know, a couple of tall women going out on the town having a shopping session.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be able to just pop in somewhere, try something on. Yes, I'll have that in a size 14. Cheers.
Also, with online clothes shopping for women, is it often the case that if an item arrives and it doesn't fit, then you've got to go through all the palaver of sending it back?
Yeah, I mean, online shopping is great. I mean, I do a lot of pre-love shopping as well. Mm. Love a bit of eBay. and there's Vinted and other pre-loved clothes sales out there. But going out to a shop, why shouldn't we be able to do that?
Well, why indeed?
Because the companies are honing in on just their major income, aren't they? They're not looking at anywhere else.
No.
There are lots of tool ranges for women, and we have a lovely database of many of those on the Facebook group that you can join and check out. That's in the file section.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for all those fashionable sartorial tips, Letty.
There aren't many, but the majority of them are embrace your own style, make sure it fits, make sure you're comfortable, possibly define your waist a little more. And why not wear heels?
It's a pity we can't tune this section out with the clothes show theme tune. That would be fantastic.
I think there may be some copyright issues there, Tom.
I know.
All of these things to consider when you do a podcast.
Oh, well, imagine the theme tune in your head, listeners. That's probably the cheapest way.
There's a lot of people listening that wouldn't have even heard of the clothes show.
Oh, well, it was a very popular show in the 80s and 90s, I believe, on the BBC, if I got that right.
It doesn't look that old, listeners. But yes, so apart from making sure you don't have your tiny, tiny, tiny handbag and that you have the confidence to wear the outfit that you want to wear that fits you well, just embrace it, ladies. Just embrace it.
You heard it here.
Thank you.
Cheers, Letty.
So now we've got some events to mention, Tom.
Oh, what's happening in the world of TTT events?
Tool Talk Times events for April. Really busy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a lovely selection as well.
Oh, yeah. Just in time for spring.
Yeah. Just in time to get some of that lovely vitamin D.
Lovely vitamin D. Love a bit of that.
It just makes you happier, doesn't it, when the sun comes out?
Of course it does, of course. So what's on the table?
So on Friday the 12th of April, we have our monthly pub meet in London.
Great, fantastic.
When I say pub, this is a really lovely venue.
Oh, yeah.
So for the details of the venue, you have to go to the meetup group or to the Facebook group, please.
Mm.
The height requirement being, Tom?
Height requirement being 5'10" and up for women and 6'2" and up for men. That's... And there's no height limit. There's no upper limit.
No upper limit.
So I'm sorry if you come below those heights, we're very sorry in advance.
Yeah, you know, I've turned one person away in the past. So that was sad.
That was sad. But it is a place for tall people together.
Yeah, tall. Talk times.
Talk times. Yes, exactly. Tall people talking in time.
Well, the times part of it are the event. So we have this Celebrating Height social get-together on Friday the 12th of April at 6 p.m. It lasts normally for about until about 9, half 9. Mm. And then people tend to drift off or go onwards. And then on the Saturday,
yes,
we have a different event.
Oh, as a non-pubby event.
Yeah, it is. It's a cake and coffee event.
Well, I do like cake and coffee. Where can we procure such lovely things?
And history. Yeah. Well, there a group of us we're going to a national trust.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
And the details of which will be
on the Facebook page.
That's right. On the Facebook page, there we are. And we're going to have a wander around a very fabulous house and gardens. And then have cake and coffee.
I mean, much as I love history, I mean, given the choice between a guided tour and a slice of cake, I'd go for the slice of cake.
You can have it all, Tom. You can have it all.
I know, but that's kind of what I go to National Trust properties for the cake.
Okay. So for the cake and coffee and a walk around a lovely garden, a really beautiful garden, I think it's a Capability Brown. But then on the following day, on Sunday the 14th of April, at Crystal Palace, they have a Crystal Palace Spring Tales with the South London Jazz Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the co-founder, Daniel's father, Phil Daniels, is a member of the South London Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah, that's cool.
So if anybody wants to go along to Crystal Palace Spring Tales, it's a free event that the Crystal Palace Bowl are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can enjoy some music played by a very beautifully tall gent.
Yes, indeed. And when you said Crystal Palace, two things went through my head. I thought, football and also the Great Exhibition of 1851. But that's because I had a misspent youth and know these things stupidly.
Crystal Palace Bowl, that is for that public event there.
Fantastic. Well, great. Well, aren't we busy for April?
Very busy for April. And so there's something there for everybody. You know, you've got the Celebrating Heights social get-together. You've got a National Trust meet during the day on the Saturday, the 13th of April, or the music festival, little festivalette, Sunday, the 14th of April from 2 p.m.
Fantastic. So, yeah, all details on the Facebook page, obviously. And coffee and cake, is there tea as well?
Coffee, cake? You don't do coffee, do you?
No, I'm more of a tea person. I think I can hear it in my voice. I don't have a coffee voice.
Is there a particular voice for coffee, Tom?
I think people who drink coffee are just a bit more hip, you know, and I'm very
square.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'll take that.
You can have that. That's your one compliment from me for today.
of all time.
Yes.
But thank you ever so much, listeners. It's been a fabulous episode, Tom. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. Thank you, Letty. And then, listeners, if you have anything you want to raise or share, then do put it on our Facebook page or send us a message via Facebook. We do love to hear from you. So, yeah, don't be shy. Come and say hi.
Thank you, everyone. This is us, the Tall Talk Times podcast made by beautifully tall people.
For tall people. Goodbye.
Bye.